I shall read. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose. Between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offsprings forever. I'll make your offsprings like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offsprings could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre and Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. The children are now going to leave. There is a hymn that we have chosen. Is it known? Because I thought the church knows the song, "Peace, Perfect Peace." Do we know it? Pardon? Yeah. If it's not known in the church, then we can replace it. No? Okay, so we'll have a substitute to that. If Michael can you move his fingers the other way. If we can have the Father's love for me. Father's love. Can you? Is that okay? Yeah, we'll use that one as our closing hymn. I think it's there on. Yeah, thank you. May I have my theme on the screen, please? Thank you. Internet is so good. I didn't need to go shopping to get what I wanted. I just clicked on my computer, and there was what I wanted. My theme today is "Pitch Your Tent in the Right Place." So I was looking for these ideas. How do you go about if you want to pitch a tent that is not easily blown away by the wind? I found 7 tips on the other website that I looked at. And on the other one, I found 17. Wow. But I went back to the one with 7 because it was easier to understand and to comprehend. It gave me these ideas. He said, look for a suitable ground. The next thing, you'll need flexible poles and pegs. And you also need extra space. And you also need the site. Those were the tips that I got. But I didn't have a tent. But I needed a tent. And also, looking on the other side, there's something that caught my eye in the preparation of where to go. It says you need to go in the woods. Why in the woods, not in the backyard? They say it is therapeutic to go in the woods, because when you look at the plants and flowers, that's very therapeutic for those of us who have suffered from stress. And he says, when you go there, you will not need a pillow, whereby if you are stressed, you need to scream in the pillow. You won't even need a stress ball, because the plants will do it. So, this morning, I want you to stop using your stress ball or your pillow. We are going to... may I have the other slot, please? The next one. Yes. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. We're going to look at the source of trouble, stress. Who to go to when you think stress is creeping on you. This morning, the story that we read about Abraham and Lot is quite intriguing. Abraham and Lot had been moving together. They left. When Abraham was asked by God to leave his own people in this country, he went with Lot. When they got to Canaan, there was famine there. They moved together to Egypt. And then out of Egypt, together. But when they went to Egypt from Canaan, we are not told whether they took their livestock or what they had with them. But all we know is he took his workers with him and Lot. And when they came out, we are told they were rich with a lot of livestock. Even Lot had accumulated his own wealth as well. But there is one thing that is coming in the lives of these two at this moment, which becomes the source of problem. My themes today suggest that pitch your tent in the right place. When they left Canaan, they had nothing. Coming out of Egypt, they were filled rich. Problem begins there. There is a problem in not having enough. Hence, Abraham and Lot left Canaan for Egypt because there was hunger in Canaan. So there's problem number one. If you don't have enough, it's a problem. And then as we carry on, when they go to Egypt, Abraham had thought he had solved his problem of hunger, but he created one problem for other people. One, he told a lie about his wife. So Pharaoh took Sarah into the palace. That created a problem for the Egyptians. And God was about to punish Pharaoh. So he asked Abram and his lot to leave. So they left. But as they left, that was solving a problem for the Egyptians. But we don't know what's coming up front. Then as they went, because they have accumulated a lot of wealth, problem number two starts. There is also a problem in acquiring a lot of wealth. It creates a problem. There are people like Bill Gates, whom we know, the computer genius. He's filthy rich, but he also has got his own problems. When he goes to sleep at night, like you and me, they don't enjoy their sleep. Because he's worried about what am I going to do tomorrow to improve what's already there. So there's problem one in not having enough. Two, there's problem in accumulating too much. There's nothing wrong in being rich. Don't get me wrong.
Jeremiah 29 talks about prosperity. It's prosperity to the children of God, you and me. But it means only acquiring enough. You don't have problems when you just acquire enough. Accumulation is wrong. And also, accumulation is caused by greediness. Do you agree with me? If you are greedy, you want more, more, more. Have you seen at work, if you have been promoted, your wage goes up a little bit. But when you get to that bracket, you still need more. So that's the problem of accumulating things. People should learn to be content with what they have. The Bible says so in Hebrews 13. It says, be content with what you have. Then you won't have problems about wanting more. So right now, in this story of Abraham, if we look in verse 8, in the story that we read this morning, this is what Abraham says. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your headsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. You and me, we are close relatives. Amen? The church went quiet. Are we not close relatives? We are, because we belong to Christ. This is what it means here. Abraham and Lot, these were righteous men. They all believed in God. So, the lesson that we are learning here, if you look in verse 7, it says, and quarreling arose between Abraham's headsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in that land at that time. I believe these other people were watching, these people of God's people quarreling. Do we sometimes wash our dirty linen in public as Christians? Abraham has got a clue for us. He says, don't do that. Even Paul himself, when he was writing his letter to the Corinthians, he told them that, what do heathen have to do with us? He writes to advise Christians that we must go to Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. That's where Paul writes to the Corinthians that Christians have got to solve their disputes amongst Christians, not to go to the outside world. I want to ask you a question. What do non-believers have in common with us? There's nothing common with them with us, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must set an example. Sit together and solve our disputes amongst ourselves. That way is another way of stopping having stress. You don't need a stress ball if you sit amongst the Christians. Because once we sit together, if there is misunderstanding, we pray to God first. Is that so? God takes away the stress. God answers our prayers. We won't even need a stress ball. There's a story in the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 to 39, when Jesus, I believe he was stressed. The Bible says he was sorrowful to the point of death. What does he do? He fell to the ground and started to pray. That's a stress relief. Prayer is a stress relief. You don't need a stress ball when you are praying to God, because God will solve your problems. You don't need a pillow to scream into it when you are stressed. Fall to the ground and pray to God. This is what Abraham is saying to Lot here. You and me are brothers. We mustn't fight in public. So what is the solution? Abraham asks Lot. He says, well, we've got two places here. You choose where you want to go. By right, Abraham was the older, and also in their relationship lines, he was the uncle. He had the right to choose first, but he goes and says, Lot, you choose first. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Lot chose first and Abraham second. I believe Abraham was being guided by the Spirit of God, because when he chose that side, all of us, we know the story of Abraham. A lot happened after that. Lot, the side that he chose, was destroyed because the people in that area were sinning and it was destroyed. including his wife. What came out of that Sodom and Gomorrah was Lot and his two daughters. And when they left Sodom, they were living in a cave.
Those of you who know the story of Lot, he committed incest with his daughters.
That's the place he chose to go to. Do we sometimes choose places where we go to that end up like Sodom?
This is why I said pitch your tent in the right place.
Choose a place to pitch your tent that will avoid you to have stresses. And when you feel you are being stressed, pray to God. You don't need a stress ball. You don't need a pillow to scream into. But scream to God. Because God is an understanding God who understands what's in your heart anyway.
Stop quarreling. Abraham said to Lord, no, you and me, we mustn't quarrel. The best thing is to part company. And they did.
Sometimes departure is good also for discovery. If you remain at the same place, you won't discover what God is about to do for you.
Here we see Abraham separating with Lot. He was going to discover a lot of things.
When he pitched his tent, one day in his life, three men arrived at that tent to speak to him about his future, what they are going to do.
But sometimes we ignore when God is speaking to us.
In our Bible study last week, we were discussing that, how then do I understand God is speaking to me? How do you take that face value?
Don't ignore whatever is coming in your mind. If you think God is speaking to you, act upon it.
Because in departure, you are going to discover something new. You haven't said this or you haven't spoken about that. But once you speak about what you think God is speaking to you, you are already discovering something new.
I want to tell you a story about a giraffe giving birth.
When a giraffe gives birth, it turns around and licks its newly born calf. And what does it do? It kicks it. Because you know a newly born calf cannot stand. It's always flimsy after birth. So a giraffe kicks it some meters away. So the little calf will try to stand. If it doesn't, the giraffe kicks it again until it starts wobbly. When it's wobbling, trying to stand, it gives it the final kick, a hard one. To some of us, that might be cruel. But the whole idea is for the newly born calf to be strong. Why? Because leopards, lions, and hyenas, they like giraffe calves meat. So also, they are vulnerable when they approach a group of a herd of giraffes. When they see a calf, they know that's the weak opponent. So if it's already ready for taking off, it will be running away from danger and it will be safe. That's the whole idea why it's kicking it, to make it sure it's ready for any danger around it. So here also, God was preparing Abraham for what's coming. Imagine if they had remained together. Maybe Abraham was also going to face the consequences that Lot faced in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God was kicking Abraham. That's why he didn't engage himself in the quarrels. But what did he do? He sought a stress relief in God. He sought a stress relief in God, and they moved. He moved away with his headsmen and Sarah. And Lot went on the other side. So he was listening to what God was speaking to him.
We need to make choices with God to avoid stress taking over our lives.
Abraham observed the kicks that God was giving him, and he left Lot alone.
Even in the corporate world today, they want to see how you are getting on.
But before they employ you, you know what they do? They want your CV to see where you have been, where you, what you have done, and what type of a person you are. I think Abraham here was building his CV, and God was pleased with him because he was listening to what God was telling him, and he moved on. And when they have looked at your CV, they want your production, not of yesterday. Yes, they've looked at your CV so that they know what type of a worker we are picking up. I believe God knew who Abraham was because God looks in our hearts anyway. But God is not interested about what Abraham has done in the past. He wants what he's doing now. So what about you? What are you doing for Jesus today? Are you a person who is concerned about your stress? But he says, bring everything to me and offload it at the cross. So what more do you want? Jesus himself has set an example that when he was overwhelmed by sorrow, he fell to the ground and started to pray. What about you? Why do you dwell in that stressful moments? Why do you want stress to take over your life? When God is saying, when you're overwhelmed by stress, bring it to me. Friends, brothers and sisters, we as Christians, we need to approach each day remembering the good that we have done in the past. But let's not dwell in the past. Ask yourself, as I'm moving forward today, what am I doing for Christ? Because if you are not doing anything for Christ, each day it's wasted away. Pitch your tent in the right place. Don't pitch your tent in Sodom. It will be destroyed. My advice is pitch your tent in Canaan and you live. Paul writes in Galatians 3 verse 27. He says this: and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. This is what it is. When you are in Christ, you are like putting on new clothes. What are you doing for Christ today? Have you pitched your tent in the right place? If not, change your ways. When you have done, even the world will know that you are my disciple, Jesus said. Pitch your tent in the right place. Jesus is that right place to pitch your tent this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for the gift of your word that contentizes us when we are getting astray. Father, your word is a stress reliever. It tells us when you are stressed, pray to God who understands your inner feelings. Pray to God who will give you relief. So, Father, as from today, let each and everyone remember that each day they are doing something for Christ, not for their personal glory. We want to do everything for Christ. Abraham moved away from Lord to avoid the quarreling. So teach us also, when there is quarreling, we learn to move away. Thank you, Father, for you are a faithful God who takes care of us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.